Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz, hour number four. And it is a four-hour show, so we are winding things down with you. Pat Boyle coming up in about an hour on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up here, we will hear from those in the Warriors locker room, those in the Timberwolves locker room, about what happened in game two. Timberwolves came out right away and dominated. And then it looked like maybe, the Warriors could find something. And then the Timberwolves were like, maybe, just maybe next time. So just the one game tonight in the NBA, and it wasn't as exciting as some of these other ones have been, and maybe we needed that breather as an NBA-loving fandom. Maybe we needed that breather. Hockey's not giving us a breather. We've got a game in overtime right now. Edmonton and Vegas tied at four. 5 minutes have gone by in the first overtime, maybe more. But Edmonton's just about to start a five-minute power play. So we'll see what they're able to accomplish here. For Friday night, you're going to see the Cavs and Pacers. You're going to see the Thunder and the Nuggets. Saturday, you will have the Celtics and Knicks in the afternoon, Timberwolves and Warriors in the evening. Sunday, Thunder and Nuggets in the afternoon, Cavs and Pacers in the evening. I think the game with the most intrigue and the game that will probably get the best numbers. It's in the day, but my goodness, that Celtics-Knicks game is going to be so interesting. And I feel like this is a game we might know early. I don't know that there's going to be a 20-point comeback. If the Celtics go up 20 in this game, I think they will be able to hold on. If the Knicks go up 20 in this game, I think the Celtics are going to be looking for the exits. That is on Saturday. 888-710-4ISN. The phone number, 888-710-4476. Kurt is in California. Hello, Kurt.
And now we're in the Bart Winkler locker room. Paul Pierce, man of his word. A little philosophy and a little silliness.
Yeah.
It's not what a man has that makes his work. It's who he is. And Paul Pierce showed.
He said if the Celtics lost, he said if the Celtics lost, he'd walk the 20 miles to work the next day. He also said he would do it barefoot, which he did not do, but that's fine. I don't hold that against him. The fact that he did it, so many in this industry, TV, radio, we always say, oh, if this happens, I'll do this. And then guess what? We never do. And for it to be Paul Pierce, good for him. Good for him.
Okay, now here's the silliness. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett show up at the next game in their uniforms. That would be an inspiration that would be tangible.
And I think if I was Jason Tatum and I saw Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett in their uniforms, I'd be like, what are these bozos doing in their uniforms?
I don't know. I think it would be kind of like a Willis Reed kind of thing. Where it would be inspirational and it would be tangible.
Yeah, but Paul Pierce doesn't look the same as in a uniform as he used to.
That's okay, just as long as he's got their uniform on. Those guys are.
I think like
champions.
A pregame message would be good. Like now, if he wants to keep walking, if he can walk to New York by then, that'd be inspirational. I don't think looking at him in a jersey is going to do anything.
I'm talking about in their whole uniform, and then after the game, donate one of their jerseys because you put his sound bites on your program. Donate one of his jerseys, one of those jerseys, to your son, who's a Celtics fan, and then the other parts of their uniform to JR's inclusion platform.
Okay. So, Kurt's idea.
What do you think about that?
Well, Kurt, thanks for the call. Let me just go over your idea again. Your idea is for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to show up at the game on Saturday in Madison Square Garden wearing full Celtics jerseys. After the game, one of the jerseys gets donated to JR of the JR Sports Brief, and the other gets donated to my son, Bartholomew Henry Winkler the Eighth. I'm always down for creativity and imagination, is how I'm going to answer that question. Leland is in Boston. Leland, how are you?
I'm good. Boy, I tell you, that's a hot act to follow with the last caller.
Something tells me, Leland, you'll be able to do just fine.
I believe so because, you know, I've been following this. I'm 70 years old, so I saw Oscar Robertson play in the Boston Garden against the Celtics with Jerry Lucas and so on. They beat us.
Oh, yeah. Those 80s Celtics, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks franchise is a lot differently regarded if they didn't keep running into those 80s Celtics teams.
Right. But I think the Celtics aren't the same team as last year because if you notice, when you when you miss the three-pointer, it means that you don't have the same leg strength. It's happened too often, you know, lately. And they're not the same team. They don't have the same stamina. And they need to actually stop shooting all those threes because they don't have the same juice, man, as that they had last year.
Well, and sometimes, too, I mean, like, it's so subconscious and you don't want to admit it, but I don't want to. Who wants it more? You know, the Knicks are probably a little more hungry than the Celtics. Knicks are trying to feed a fan base that hasn't won in 50 years. Celtics just hung their 18th banner a year ago.
Right. I mean, any basketball, you know, fan should know that it had been past time for them to start driving to the hoop, man. I mean, anybody who's played basketball knows that.
Yeah, I think what was so shocking to me, Leland, thanks for the call, you did it. What was so shocking to me the other night was, like, I get why the Celtics take a lot of threes. Threes are worth more than twos. And they've got a lot of guys that can knock down threes. Even guys that you don't think should still be knocking down threes at their age. They're able to get it done. But at some point, the Celtics have to be like, hey, we're a good team. We have good basketball players. We can play better than just run down and chuck up a three. And so I am curious to see if that strategy changes. I don't imagine it will. I think they'll still play like they play. They won a title last year doing it. They won 61 games this year doing it. So I still think the Celtics are going to look like the Celtics. I don't think that will change. What's going to change is it's a make or miss league. So are you going to make them? And if they do, they will probably win. And then they'll be more confident to do it the next game. And then they'll go on from there. The Minnesota Timberwolves were a team the other night that also had a problem from beyond the arc. They were 0 of 15, I believe, in the first half of game one. Did not have a good showing against Golden State in that game, where from three, they were just 5 of 29. Thursday night saw game two, and the Timberwolves won 117-93. And they shot a lot better from three. In fact, their first shot made was a three. They were 16 of 37 for a 43% clip. So much better. And it was pretty spread out. Conley hit a couple. Edwards hit a couple. Nas Reed. Dante. Alexander Walker had four. They beat the Golden State Warriors 117-93. The Warriors did bring it to within single digits, seven or eight. It was in the third quarter there. It got a little tight. Forgive me. I was doing a radio show at the time. But they did get it close, and they had some momentum, and then the Timberwolves were able to pull away and eventually seal this thing. They are without Steph Curry. And so we knew they'd have to play a little different. And I think what tonight was, what Thursday night was for Golden State was, all right, well, let's see what's going to work. Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Quentin Post, Buddy Hield, Brandon Podemski, they got the start. By the six-minute mark, all five of those guys were off the floor, and they had a different lineup come in. I believe it was Moody and Payton and Spencer, Kuminga, Looney was out there. But there were some guys that played a lot, or at least right away, and then didn't come back in. They tried Quentin Post, didn't work. He started, played 3 minutes. He's like that high school senior whose dad runs the booster club. So you got to start him, but he's no good. At least in this game. Post has had some nice games. Looney only played 3 minutes. He got in early. They went to Trace Jackson Davis a little later, who has been a revelation for them at certain times, and then at certain times he can't find the bench. Kuminga needed 26 minutes tonight. You got to break glass now for Kuminga. And I know you're not getting from him everything you wanted, but he's better tonight, 8 of 11. So they're still figuring it out. And I think tonight, with having the 1-0 lead, I think it was, okay, we're not trying to lose this game. We're going to try to win. But as we play, it's also more important that we do have more games left. And we got to try to find out what works against these guys. So I think there was an experimental nature to game number two. Certainly that they were trying to win. But also it was a lot of let's throw things at the wall and see what sticks. Jimmy Butler, after the game, talked about what the game plan has to be now going forward after having the series tied one apiece.
It's going to be a lot more attacking and hitting the open guy and attacking again. Everybody knows it's difficult to recreate or even get close to doing what he does. But we're going to have to find a way. So, we go to the tapes, talk about it, and execute it to the best of our abilities.
Jimmy Butler was 6 of 13. He had 2 threes on 4 shots. He may need to shoot more than that. Some of those games that he had for the Miami Heat on those runs, he took over. It was playoff Jimmy. Tonight was not playoff Jimmy. Tonight was a nice Robin to Steph Curry's Batman, but Batman's hurt. So he's got to take over. Steve Kerr talks about his rotation tonight and why so many guys played, and it wasn't like it was garbage time. It was guys playing meaningful minutes.
Part of the game plan coming in was to play a lot of people, and we did. I think we played 13, 14 people in the first half. And part of the reasoning is, obviously the fatigue of, the run we've been on with all the travel and the games. But part of it also is we have to figure out what we're going to be able to do in this series without Steph. And so we gave a lot of people a lot of chances, and then, some guys really stepped up. Trace and JK were both really good in this game. You could see that their athleticism was important.
Yeah, I mean, giving some guys 3 minutes a run, I don't know if you've learned everything that you can or if you're going to learn what the rotation is going to be, but perhaps they saw enough or were looking for a specific thing. JK being Kuminga had 18 points. Trace Jackson Davis with the 15 points. Yeah, Moses Moody didn't play as much as I thought maybe he would, but he was 0 for 5. Gary Payton the second, kind of the same thing. So we'll see what they do going forward. And yeah, that was another part of it. And that may be why somebody called last night and said there was a suggestion that the Warriors play a game without Jimmy and without Draymond. And maybe the thinking there was, well, you're probably going to lose this game anyway. So give these guys a rest. Well, why is rest important? Well, they went 7 against Houston, and they have, assuming it goes to a game 5, which it will now, it will be a total of 10 games in 20 days. So they'll play game off, game off, game off. They'll be doing that rotation for 20 straight days. And then after game 5, there's a 3-day break before game 6. So that's weird. They don't play until the 17th. Yeah. That's a bit weird. They played tonight, the 8th. They play the 10th. They'll play the 12th. They would play the 14th. And then they wouldn't play again until the, I think the 17th, but there'd be 3 games in between there. On the Timberwolves side, Chris Finch, Timberwolves coach, they did a much better job of this tonight, obviously. Warriors did a real good job of it in game 1, holding Minnesota just 88 points. This is going to be a series won by the defense.
I think both teams are really committed to defense, but we for sure have to take all the easy baskets out of the game. And, you know, I think try to figure out a few other things, I think, that they're doing as you do in a series and it goes along. But, of course, defense is going to be huge.
Leading scorer tonight for Minnesota, Julius Randle, 24 points on 17 shots. Also had 11 assists and 7 boards, close to a triple-double. They split in Minnesota. They're now going to San Francisco. Happy to at least got the one. Wishing they would have got game 1. Randle says it wasn't overconfidence that cost us in that opening game.
No, I don't think we were overconfident. I think we were rusty. You know, this is not the team to be overconfident versus. They're a championship team. They have championship DNA. We've said that from the beginning. So if we want to win this series, we're going to have to, you know, take every game seriously, and we're going to have to win every game. It's not going to be handed to us. So we know who they are and what they're about from top to bottom. And, we just got to continue to, you know, put ourselves in a position to win because they're not going to beat themselves.
So we don't know what this game would have looked like if Steph Curry was in. We don't know what this series would have looked like if Steph Curry could play in every game. And injuries suck. And it sucks that they are a part of this. But that is part of the battle of attrition. I make fun or rag on the Pacers all the time for beating teams when they're not at their most capable. But should some credit be given to the Pacers for being able to stay healthy? And they can't control what team is put in front of them. I'd love for Darius Garland to be healthy the entire series. I would love for Kristaps Porzingis to not have this mysterious illness. I would love for Steph Curry to not have a hamstring injury for the first time in his life, apparently. So Minnesota should be the favorite. They will be the favorite. Steph Curry's not going to be reevaluated until the morning of game 5. And I don't imagine that they're going to look at him and say, okay, you're good to go.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
I can't imagine that's going to be the case. We got a game winner in the hockey game or what?
Sure did. Edmonton in a thrilling overtime where Vegas completely nullified a 5-minute major. By Nick Roy for cross-checking. They survived the power play, but Edmonton still comes back, and they win 5-4. Leon Draisaitl came streaking, got it right past Aiden Hill. Good game. Edmonton leads the series 2-0.
Oh, okay, good. I had to ask you because typically I'm in a room where I'm watching games via streaming, so I'm about 30 seconds behind. And I don't know what is the deal, because on some of these browsers, if I move off the browser and come back, it's still live action.
Yeah.
This one, if I move off the browser, I'm still at the 7-minute mark.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got a ways to go, but hell of a pass by Connor McDavid. What can you do as a goalie when you have McDavid and Draisaitl literally barreling down your chest? You're like, well, I'm screwed. McDavid passes it at the last second, and Draisaitl kicks it in for the goal.
I don't even know where to change this setting. What, how does this even work?
I'm sure you can catch SportsCenter in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, all right. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. We will hear from him momentarily. Looks like everything is wrapped up for the evening as the game between Edmonton and the Vegas Golden Knights has gone final, and the Oilers have taken a 2-0 lead over the Golden Knights. Overtime needed for this one, but they're able to punch it in. Just a few minutes left in the first overtime, and only one was needed. So congratulations there. Talking about the Boston Celtics a little bit this hour, you guys can chime in. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. One other thought on that was this team is going to end up looking different next year. This is one of the, I think, problems with the NBA right now. I do, is that it's hard to keep teams together. And maybe it means there's a little more parity, but if you do a good job of assembling a good team, it's going to be hard to keep them together with all the different salary aprons and all that kind of stuff. The Celtics have new ownership coming in, too. And right now, I think Brian Windhorst was talking about it today. After all the taxes and everything, next year's roster is going to cost the Celtics $432 million because it will be the salaries that the team makes, and that's usually in the two-somethings, and then plus all the extra money you have to pay as penalty. That cannot be sustainable. So where do they move off of guys? Well, Al Horford's a free agent. I mean, I can't. He's making 10 right now. He's 38. I feel like he's a situation where if they win, he'll retire, but he may just retire regardless. Al Horford's had a long career. Al Horford's had a very good career. I don't know that every time I see Al Horford play, I'm like, how's he still doing that? But he's still doing it, and he's still doing it very well. 5-time All-Star, had that success at Florida, won a couple of championships. So very worthy. I mean, if you want to bow out at any time, Al, we're not going to blame you. Enjoy your retirement. But other than that, a lot of these guys are on the books. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both in the 55 range, is what they're going to be looking at. Drew's making 32. Porzingis is making 30. That isn't expiring. Derek White is at 28 and has 2 more years after next. Peyton Pritchard's at 7 for another 3 years. This has to be a misprint. Sam Hauser's making $2 million this year. He's going to make 10 for the next 4. They signed him to a 4-year, $45 million deal? All right, well, maybe he's their Al Horford replacement. Jeez, that's kind of a lot. So something will have to change. Now, if it's just peripheral pieces, okay. If it's moving off of Porzingis, all right, you still got Drew, Derek White, Tatum, Brown. Is there another change out of one of those 4 guys? if they get bounced from this round, there may be more incentive to try to change it up. Another team that's getting expensive already is the Cavaliers. They've already got $217 million on the books for next year, but that will probably rise. That's the 11 players they have under contract. League minimum's 14. But I'm talking about these teams that are expensive, and it's like, okay, well, fine, they're expensive. They're doing well. The Cavs and the Celtics, yeah, they're both down 0-2, but they got a shot to contend. The highest payroll goes to the Phoenix Suns. So it doesn't always mean that a high payroll gives you good results. Doesn't always mean that. Another bit of news today is we saw a firing in Major League Baseball. Derek Shelton has been relieved of his duties. Bench coach Don Kelly is going to take over. This is the first manager fired across MLB this season. Derek Shelton has been with the Pirates for a little bit, took over as manager in 2020. That was the COVID year. 19-41 they went. 61 wins in 21, 62 wins in 22. They've gone 78-86 the last couple of years. And he was 12-26 when he got fired. And so they are moving on from him. So, you know, based on the results that he has had, and they were off today, but based on the results that he has had, it's like, okay, those kind of results will get you fired. But how much of that is he responsible for? How much of that is he responsible for? How much of it is the ownership? Bob Nutting, the manager, said, "There is a lot of baseball left to be played. The team needed to act with a sense of urgency and take the steps necessary to fix this now. To get back on track as a team and an organization, the first quarter of the season has been frustrating and painful for all of us. A lot of the conversation around Pittsburgh for us this year has been, I mean, don't waste Paul Skeens, which their payroll's pretty bad. And so you wonder, are they trying to do in Pittsburgh what was done in Oakland? Here's a fun fact for you. Buster Olney had this. Do you know how little the Milwaukee Brewers spend on payroll? Aren't the Milwaukee Brewers a team that we think, oh, they're doing it with no payroll? Okay, that's true, but in the last seven seasons, the Pirates have spent about $200 million less in payroll than the Brewers. So the Brewers are a team that is hamstrung, and the Pirates have spent $200 million less than that. That's about another $25, $30 million a year. It's very hard. Baseball is very hard with the payroll and the no salary cap and the resources. It's very hard. And the Brewers have just as many World Series as the Pirates in the last 7 years. They've made more playoff appearances, but what are you paying for? I don't know. I'm not justifying what the Pirates are doing. I'm saying that the Brewers are a team that they're still at least trying. They're finding other ways. Does anyone have any confidence that the Pirates are trying to win? Derek Shelton gets fired. Is it Derek Shelton's fault? He's managing who he's managing. There could be better use of resources there. And don't tell me these owners don't know when they're being cheap. All of a sudden, the Athletics move to Sacramento. Still nobody going to these games. But they're 20-18 and spending money. Oh, would you look at that? Would you look at that? They are actually competitive. Pirates, too, they've got some guys on this team like Ke'Bryan Hayes and O'Neal Cruz, guys that are worth building around. A lot of guys banged up right now. Speaking of banged up, that fan is alive. The guy who fell 21 feet is living. Now, he just took some steps the other day, and the report is everything is broken. But the fact that he is alive is a miracle, truly. We saw that video. I brought it up briefly. I didn't want to talk about it that much. I thought he was dead. So I'm very happy that he is alive. I'm still kind of surprised they finished that game looking back on it, but I'm very happy he is alive. I guess now that I said that, I should probably take out the segment. I can't really go back to talking about Derek Shelton. You know what is on life support is the Pirate season. Right? Am I right? No? I think I'm getting sick. I think I'm getting a cold, so blame it on that, okay? I'm not my true self right now.
I know what you got. You what? Got a case of the Thursdays.
I got a case of the gonna be missing yous tomorrow, baby boo.
Don't ever call me that again. Did you think we were on break or something? Like, I told you not to call me that off air. You're going to do that on air?
Well, I don't know. It just came out. I'm comfortable around you.
Yeah, that's what she said.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Marco's just jotting down notes for HR.
I'm actually just wondering if all this makes it into the podcast.
It will, because I don't know where to cut it off otherwise.
Or you just don't feel like editing it?
Zero editing.
Okay.
I like when people are like, Bart, there was an issue with the podcast. I go, you think I got any idea how that works?
I must have been off.
I mean, I could put up a mean podcast like the rest of them, but I don't have access to anything you do. I'm lucky I have the call screener in front of me, honestly.
Yeah, and even that was failing you earlier. I had to punch up a call.
Yeah, and the 2 years that I was primarily just filling in on weekends or whenever, I never had the screener. No one ever thought to give it to me. The people had to text me who the calls were.
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world.
I know.
It's not two cans with a rope. Who are you two complaining about?
Well, that's what it feels like. I'm in Milwaukee. If it's more than 20 miles an hour here, the roof of my building flies away.
The what now?
Did I say it again?
Yeah, you did it again.
What is it, roof?
Yeah, second time this week went rough.
It's not a dog.
Jaguars. The Falcons. All right, 888-710.
Good time for a break.
Yeah, very good. Good time for an update. Good time for an update from Marco Belletti. Thanks for sticking around. Yeah. It is the Bart Winkler Show. We are wrapping things up. This is our Thursday into Friday show. Thanks for not leaving. Please don't leave. We need you. God, please help us. I know I've told that story before, but I used to work with a guy in a call center. You know, we were supposed to be like, hey, this is why your TV, internet, and phone package would work for you. But this guy's strategy was, you gotta buy HBO. I need to feed my children.
I like him.
And nobody else could do it, but this guy, he was like third every month. And the company's like, well, that's not what's on your B2B chart, but you are slinging some cable packages, my brother.
That's what I'm talking about! That's
those,
my MVP!
Those triple plays. That was it. If we sold TV, internet, and phone, triple plays. The phone, I know I've said this, but it's I just get back into the habit. The amount of people who have telephones in their house because I scam them is way too many. Yeah, we could give you TV and internet for $150. Or we could give you TV, internet, and phone for $79.99. Because apparently then people forget. It's a whole thing. Just watch your neighbor's TV through the bedroom window. I mean, it's just all a scam. Mark is in California, but it's not a scam. It's the Odyssey app. That's free. That's free, my brothers. To my brothers in a minute.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Up to nothing, Bart.
I didn't understand a word you said, my brother.
Well, we're up to nothing.
Speakerphone. Speakerphone.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay. My iPhone sucks. I have to have it on speakerphone because the inside's all like has dirt in it. So I need to clean it. So.
Well, you better do that because when you're on speakerphone, you sound like you're in a bathtub.
Ooh, okay. Well, I like that. well.
I'm not flirting with you, Mark. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, well, we're up to nothing, and I'm excited, okay?
But
I'm
the not Knicks, excited. Yeah. Let the listeners know you're talking about the Knicks.
I'm kind of panicking. New York's up to nothing because, you know, they missed 75 threes in the last two games, which is like an NBA record, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they've gone up 20 in two games. So it's like if they just continue to do what they do, shots are going to fall. They're not going to miss, you know, 40, 35, 43 the game, right? Shots are going to go in, and they were up 20 in both games. So it's like, as a Knicks fan, you don't play good at home. All I want is to take one out of two and go up 3-1. Now you have to force them to win three straight, and all we got to do is win one out of the next three. But imagine if we sweep them, Bart. If you sweep Boston, you know how crazy New York's going to be? It's going to be like the Knicks just won like five championships. It's going to be, oh, my God.
Well, it will be a big deal, and it will be worth celebrating. But remember,
there's always a but.
There's another series after that.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm not scared of Indiana at all because, I mean, when we played them, our entire team was decimated. Like, it was worse than the Bucks. Like, we had, like, our whole starting five gone. And then last year, you know, Brunson broke his hand in game seven. So it was just like, you know what I mean? It was just horrible. But now we have Cat and we have Mikal Bridges, man. I still think he's Allen Crabbe. Don't get me wrong, but he's playing a lot better. But in the fourth quarter.
No, I think if there's one thing that's happened in these first two games, it's you got to retire that Bridges is Allen Crabbe.
Yeah, no, his defense. So, well, his defense was always good. Just the thing is he's just very erratic with his shot. And like, if he can control his shot, oh man. Like, it's you got a whole other 20 game score on your hands. Like, literally, he's good. You know, he's just very inconsistent. But one thing I do want to talk to you about before I let you go, George Pickens, that trade is phenomenal for Dallas, bro. What a great trade. No?
I'm getting over the fact that you bro'd me, but yeah, it's interesting. It's a for this year trade. It doesn't look like they have a plan in extending him.
They traded a third for him, but let's say it doesn't work out. Then what happens is they get a comp third round pick. So it's basically like they're getting him for nothing. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you cut him loose. But Dallas's offense, though, like on paper, is very scary. Like they got Javonte Williams, they got the running back from Texas, they got Miles Sanders as the third back. You know, and then you got two good tight ends in Shoemaker, you got Ferguson, and then you got now CeeDee and Pickens, and the other dude who's like one of the fastest wide receivers I've ever seen in my life. So their offense is looking, I don't know, pretty good. You think it's better than the Packers?
I don't know. I do think, Mark, thanks for the call. We're at the end of the show here. I do think Dallas can be good. I think if you put a different logo on that helmet and played him in a different town and you had this roster. Like if the Dallas Cowboys didn't exist and all of a sudden the I don't know. Oklahoma City Lightning. Sorry. We're a team, and it had Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb with George Pickens. A couple of tight ends. Javonte Williams, Jaden Blue, Miles Sanders. You'd be like, oh, that's an 11-win team. What's the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, well. Also, I am a little concerned about, not even concerned, but I would like to see what Brian Schottenheimer looks like as a coach. But yeah, I think a lot of people are going to sleep on the Cowboys. The problem is they always are slept on, and then they always win 10 or 11 games. And you're like, what? But by the time that you admit that they're okay, they lose in the playoffs. To my Packers. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, and thanks to you. Back tomorrow. Pat Boyle up next. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.